I won't make you turn far. You can go back to Hebrews 3 and 4 is where we'll spend. I'll share for a few more minutes and continue on a similar vein as to what Joel's been sharing. My day started, we were away for a week. It was wonderful. It was a nice time away as a family, and came home, and all of a sudden I think our home's a bit of a bombshell right now, and so that was one of the elements. And then thinking about going back to work, all these things, I was finding this rest that I'd enjoyed for a week while away, it was fleeting. It was trying to escape me. And so I started by reading a familiar passage. You can turn there, you don't have to. Well, I'll quote it in Psalm 46. You know this verse. Be still and know that I am God. Cease striving and know that I am God. So I started there and I was thinking about, got me onto rest. And I was thinking, I went for a walk and I was thinking about passages about rest. And so that's how you come to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, very common passages on rest. And so I think as I was listening to Joel share, I was getting more understanding on this. When you think of having rest in the Lord, I'm going to ask you, what comes to your mind in terms of what is sort of, one would call it the recipe for rest? It says here in Hebrews 4, which verse are we? Sorry. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. So I always think of it's faith. Faith trusting in the Lord will allow me to enter that rest. And that is entirely true. We just read it in Scripture. So don't worry, I'm not going to suggest something different. But I saw something else that I wanted to just highlight. And it was interesting. I think it was December 31st. We were away. And so I just asked the kids, maybe the 30th or the 31st before they went to bed. I said, I want everybody to think about what's something you desire. So Happy New Year. It's obviously the first Sunday of the new year. And so I'm going to give you something to think about. But I just said, you know, what's something that you would want to see God do in your lives, something. Just threw it out there and said, let's think about it, and one a day or two we'll come back. So we came back. For me, as I thought about it, I mean, I can pick out certain things. I told the kids, I'd like to be more patient, and that particularly is probably as a father, I'd like to be more patient. But ultimately, I come back most commonly to, you know, I want a deeper walk with Jesus. Ultimately, you look at that, you talk about, Joel talked about this, you know, what are the great promises we have? To be more like Jesus, to have a deeper walk with him, to be changed more into his character, all of that. And then I said, you know, I still long every day to trust him more. And so you see that faith is the recipe for having rest. And so I was thinking about what's an example of, Lord, show me an example in the Bible about rest. So what's an example that comes to your mind if I pause for a second? Some story. That's exactly the one that comes to my mind. Jesus in the boat, right? The waves are crashing over the sides of the boat. It's filling up. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. It's like the ultimate picture that in the midst of whatever storm is happening in your life, Jesus like personifies rest by, I could actually sleep through this. The disciples, they're seeing this is it, right? This is it. We are perishing. Jesus, good nap. Like total opposite. Total opposite. And I'm thinking, Lord, that is available. You talk about the promises of God. It is available to us. Not necessarily that we're going to be sleeping all the time. I'm not suggesting that. But to have that picture of that rest in our lives and that peace that passes all understanding in the midst of whatever storms come. And so what struck me as I read this, I went back and I was reading Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. So what's the opposite of this faith? And it comes out here. So let's read a little bit. Let's go back to Hebrews 3. And let's pick it up maybe in verse 7. It says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So Friday night, we were looking at John 11. We had a good, robust discussion about one portion in particular, when Jesus wept. I'm not going to get into it, but we were having this discussion of why was he troubled and all these things. And it's very interesting because what you see at the end of this, so the John 11 is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus dies. They put him in the tomb. There's lots of things you can kind of dive into in that. But at the end of the day, what happens is Jesus shows up 4 days after Lazarus is dead, and he says, I'm the resurrection of life. He repeats that to the sisters. He says, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And then he tells them, roll away the stone. And they say, Jesus, it's going to stink. It's going to stink. You sure you want to do this? Right? And we know that God raises him from the dead. And right after that, it says that a number, let's just read it. You can stay over there. I'll just read you these two verses. But it says here, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary, this is John 11:45, and saw what he had done, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. And let's just be clear, they weren't going and praising the Lord for what he had done. Right? So it was accusing him. What's another passage that you think of? We also talked about this because it came to my mind Friday night. Matthew chapter 11. Here's an incredibly familiar passage on rest. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Prior to this, Jesus is praising the Lord because God has revealed his truths. He's hidden them from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Now, I don't think it was practically infants, but he says, consider your calling. There's not many wise. There's not many mighty. Right? There's not many noble. It's not about that. He reveals it to those who I'm going to say are tender-hearted. They're humble. And they're willing to believe. They're willing to see, to read what God has done in his word and say, Lord, I see it here. And so I believe that you can do it in my life because you've said it here. Lord, you've said it that there's a rest available to me. I don't have rest. Perhaps you're saying, I don't have rest. I'm anxious. I'm whatever. Perhaps you're saying a different thing. You're looking at, like Joel talked about, the different promises. Lord, I don't feel like I've got hope. I don't feel like I've got victory. I don't feel like when I say victory in the sense of over sin, perhaps, or some area in your life. He's looking for those. There's two people. When you sit and you hear God's word, perhaps you've even seen God work in your life. Like he says, he goes back and he says, he warns them in Hebrews 3, right? He talks about, do not harden your hearts, even though you saw my works for 40 years. Yet you resisted. Right before that passage in Matthew 11, where he talks about, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. And he starts naming cities. And he says, if the things had been done in you, had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, which you've seen, they would have repented long ago. But you are what? He doesn't say this. What are they doing? They're hardening their hearts. They're seeing God's works, but they're choosing. They're resisting. They're not believing. Now, the question I had, what does it mean to harden our hearts? Because it's the opposite of faith. And he warns in Hebrews, he warns them strongly about hardening their hearts. And I've probably gone past that warning too quickly when I've read it. But this morning when I was pondering on it, I'm like, you know what? When I was pondering on it, you start to see it. Actually, it's very real. You see it in the Gospels. You see it with Lazarus. Some believe, some harden their hearts. And what do they do when they harden their hearts? They go off and they tell the Pharisees. Jesus was doing miracles. Some believed. Some were tender-hearted. Some resisted, i.e. they hardened their hearts. They weren't willing to receive. They weren't willing to believe. There's another part, right? If you think about Matthew 11, what does he say? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? Because faith is tied together with obedience. But faith is also tied together with, and when I think of taking that yoke, and we've talked about this probably many times before, I think of submission, of surrender. Let's go with surrender. Surrendering our lives and saying, Jesus, as I'm just going to use Joel's example. Lord, if you want to make me sick for 2 weeks and my family's sick for 2 weeks, Lord, I don't understand it, but Lord, I surrender to it. And I'm not going to sit here and bash against the side of the yoke trying to take you in a different direction. I'm just going to let you take me, my family, whatever it is, in the direction that you know is best. And I'm going to surrender to that. And in that place of just surrendering to Jesus and trusting, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to just cease striving and just know you are God and that you will help and that you will do something in it. In that place, there's rest. In that place is a peace that passes all understanding, right? And it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's not like you're not coming to the Lord. You can be open before the Lord. You can see the way David would pour out his heart to the Lord. But in the end, he would always be. And you look at this, and you think, well, David was a man after God's own heart. I thought about that this morning. David was not hard-hearted. David was tender-hearted, right? If he sinned, he would repent. And we know he sinned in terrible ways, but he would repent. He wouldn't resist the Lord. And so I think that's the challenge to us, even for me. I think of these kind of, I'll call them New Year's, they're not resolutions. They're just thoughts that I have of like, what do I long for in the coming year? And we sang the song, Christ be magnified. That's a great one. Lord, just be magnified in my life, right? And so I think everybody would say, yeah, that's my desire. I want Christ to be magnified. Yes, I want to trust him more. Yes, I want to be made more and more into his likeness. So then the challenge to us is, hey, then we need to believe. And we need to be on guard against hardening our hearts. And the devil is there to try and get us to go that direction of hardening our hearts. And I'll just say, like I say, I've read that and I go, well, I'm not going to harden my heart. And then this morning I was like, well, wait a minute. I better be careful that I don't just write that warning off. That warning can be real for me. That I don't harden my heart. That if I've seen God working and then I read a promise, am I clinging to that promise? Am I believing that promise that Jesus can do that in my life? That he truly can make me more patient with my children? Or whatever it might be that comes to your mind where you're saying, you know what I want? Lord, I long for that in my life. And maybe you're sitting here saying, I've longed for it for years. Maybe you're saying you've longed for it for decades. Some change in your life. And then the enemy's there to try and tell you it's like he's failed. Be on guard. The Lord is looking, as Joel talked about, perseverance and endurance, that in hope against hope, Abraham, as Joel shared with us, in hope against hope, he believed. He believed even 25 years after the promise was given, when Joel talked about this, when his body was good as dead. And so we have these warnings about hardening our heart, but the promise that if we are willing to take up his yoke and learn from him, humble ourselves, and just hold fast to the promises of God, that's the place that we can have rest. That, to me, is what was in my heart this morning, and I was thinking, man, that's a longing I have. A longing I have for myself for this year, to walk in that, no matter what this year holds, right? We don't know what it's going to hold. It's going to hold trials. We know that. It's going to hold, God desires to do good things. So as we're walking with him, to see him do good things. But in it all, no matter what happens, that we can see God working in our lives and can say, you know what? By the grace of God, I've just had a peace that has passed understanding in the midst of whatever this year holds for each of us. And that as a body, just even praying quickly this morning before we started, to those at home and to those here, that each of us would be growing more and more into his likeness, right? I think that everybody would say, yeah, that's our desire. And as a body, that people would see us, could come and could see the love that we have for one another and say, to see Jesus Christ in our body. I think that's the longing we have. That comes as we surrender to him, as we choose to take his yoke. And in doing so, we can have that rest. We can have that peace in the midst of the storms, even when the waves feel like they're crashing over the boat, and you feel like, you think of that, the disciples, what was their reaction? So you get the contrast. Your flesh could say, I'm perishing, right? That's the flesh is saying, we're perishing. And so you can be in a situation where if you give in to the thoughts that the enemy's putting into your mind, it would say, I have no hope. This situation is utterly a disaster and I will perish. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. And that's the enemy's there. And there's circumstances that are very possible to look at and say, it's hopeless. And yet Jesus Christ is sitting there saying, just trust me. Trust me that in the midst of this storm, that I want, it's like when Lazarus was dead, he says, if you would just believe, then you will see the glory of God. And that's his promise, that if we believe, that not just have rest, that we can see the glory of God. And that glory can be, we don't know what it will look like. It can be just him changing our character. We don't know. But I think every one of us would say, as we enter this year, could say, I long to see the glory of God. I long to see the glory of God in my life and in circumstances, in other people's lives. And that comes as we just trust and we surrender to him. We resist the enemy's lies that want to make us hard-hearted, want to cause us to be unbelieving. So guard your heart against that. And at the same time, we have such hope. I'm encouraged as we enter this new year to see what God is going to do, and that we have such incredible promises as we lay hold of them, just to see him work in our lives and do great, great things.